Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
So today we're talking to Jenna Meyer, who is a registered nurse and integrative nutritional health coach. She is passionate about helping people overcome chronic disease and find wellness in their life by eating nourishing food and living a fulfilling lifestyle. She understands that this is a confusing world of nutritional information, and her focus is to help people sort through the noise to make a plan that will work specifically for their body. As a registered nurse for over 16 years, she loves merging her two areas of expertise to help her clients understand what to eat, why they should eat it, and the easiest way to make it happen. So first, we're going to talk about what sugar is, how it impacts our bodies.
Then we're going to address the significant risks associated with excessive sugar consumption.
And finally, Jenna will share practical ways to be mindful of and reduce your sugar intake.
But before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your, quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving. Understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our waitlist, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp.
Welcome, Jenna. Thanks for being on today.
Thanks, guys.
So, sugar. Sugar, yeah. Sugar, sugar. What yeah. Everybody loves but shouldn't. I don't know how many people are still going to be talking to us after
episode. And I'm turning the episode
right
off.
Right? Yeah. Oh my gosh. What do you think is the most important thing to talk about when it concerns sugar, Jenna?
Well, I'm really big into educating. I feel like once you know, then hopefully you can do a little bit better. So I'm going to give you guys a little pop quiz. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I love this.
Yes. Sarah's fun.
Sarah loves games, so let's go.
All the way back to sixth grade life science, so reach deep. Do you guys remember what is the process called when a plant makes energy?
Yep, it's
glycolysis? No?
Mm-mm. No.
Photosynthesis.
Yes!
Yes!
Photosynthesis.
Yes.
Photosynthesis. Sarah wins. So yeah.
Actually, that was
so when, oh, sorry.
When I was gonna say, I want my points, people.
I will give points where points are due.
Let the record show it was best. So when a plant goes through photosynthesis, it actually makes an energy molecule that is glucose. So whether you're a plant, animal, or a human, glucose is your main source of fuel. So glucose isn't the big bad wolf that we're making it out to be. I truly believe it's the quantity and the quality of glucose that we have in our modern diets. You know, like, I don't know, 100, 200 years ago before the invention of ultra-processed foods, Americans only ate 2 pounds of sugar a year. So that's like half a teaspoon of sugar a day. And now, 2025, we're eating about 100 pounds of sugar a year, which is about 34 teaspoons of sugar a day. Could you imagine just pouring that out and just trying to chew 34 teaspoons of sugar?
Well, no, Sarah and I were talking about it before you got on about, like, I think the healthy amount of sugar in a diet is supposed to be like a teaspoon in your body a day at most.
Mm-hmm. And the ADA says it's 25 grams.
Yeah. So like the American guidelines say that up to 50 grams of sugar. Okay.
Yeah, well.
Which is 12 teaspoons. But the American Heart Association says you should only have 6 teaspoons of sugar or 25 grams. But there is no necessary amount of added sugars that we need in our diet.
Hmm. Yeah, that feels like a food lobbyist concession when I hear those guidelines. Absolutely. So I'm just like, who paid to be able to up it to that amount? Because it's not good for you.
And I know people listening are going to want to know the difference between, because you say no amount of sugar is really necessary, but what's the difference between added sugar and natural sugar?
For sure. Added sugar, when we're looking at a label, the first thing I want to point out is that maybe it doesn't feel like you're having a lot of sugar on your diet, because when you look at a nutritional label, it'll say 6 grams of sugar and you're like, great, I don't know what that means. So keep this conversion in your head. 4 grams of sugar is 1 teaspoon of sugar. So if you're looking at like your Nature Valley granola bar, that's super quote unquote healthy for you, that has 11 grams of sugar, which is like 3 teaspoons of sugar. Oh. So if you wouldn't imagine pouring 3 teaspoons of sugar on top of some, you know, oats, that's probably not the best amount of sugar. So the food industry adds all of this added sugar to our foods because they know that sugar has an addictive quality to it. And they're smart and they want to make money. So it kind of guarantees that people come back for more sugar in their products.
Which everybody knows that. Once you've eaten a bunch of sugar, what do you want the very next
more sugar
hour, day, next day? It's like you crave more sugar.
And it's not filling.
No, it's not filling. I'm to the point now where if I have sugar, if I have something sugary, I get an instant headache, which I actually really love.
Gosh, because I would love that.
I love it because it like reminds me that your body doesn't like this. This is not your normal state anymore. But before I got to that point where I was eliminating unnecessary sugars, I didn't have any side effects from sugar other than I wanted more sugar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So interesting.
Yeah. I talk about this with my clients a lot, you know. Our hormones have natural rhythms, you know, like you have melatonin that peaks at night to help you sleep. We also have a hormone called cortisol, and you might be familiar with cortisol as your stress hormone. Although we do make it in times of stress, our body does have a natural rhythm of cortisol. Cortisol should be highest in the morning to wake you up and then slowly go down throughout the day so you can go to bed. The thing is that cortisol is actually best friends with glucose or sugar in our body. In diabetics, we see this a lot. It's called the dawn phenomenon, where you wake up in the morning and your blood sugar is really high because your cortisol is highest throughout the day. So if you're eating the standard American diet and you're grabbing, I don't know, a bagel and a iced coffee from Starbucks, that's a lot of sugar. So your blood sugar is going to go higher. And then cortisol, the best friend, is going to raise higher with it. And that puts your body in a stress state. So our body has to quickly take that sugar that's in our blood cells, and it feeds first your liver and then your muscles. And then the rest goes to fat storage for a rainy day, which we don't have rainy days of no food. So we just have perpetual fat storage. And your body does this so quickly and efficiently that within an hour or two, your blood sugar actually crashes below baseline and you might feel hangry, shaky, foggy. You might have anxiety. You might have, you know, feel a little bit more down, but your body is going to tell your brain, we need more carbs and sugar quick because we're going to die. And so what do? You grab a muffin and then you're up and down through this roller coaster all day long.
Wow. Yeah, that's totally right.
That's totally how it feels. And you know, when you're younger, you're just like constantly feeding that monster.
And what's so crazy is that your brain convinces you that you need it, even though the rational part of you is like, I mean, but really, do I?
And there's some days where I'm just like, I know that this is going to make my blood sugars crazy, but I need to get through this next day, or I need to get through this next hour, or I need to get this done.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, it is. It's wild. It's a wild game.
It is a wild game. Woo! Well, I want to kind of dive into, we touched on it a little bit, but the addictive nature of sugar, because I think that's where a lot of women are. They're suffering the consequences, but they're really not sure how to break the addiction. And yeah. I want to get into the mental component, because a lot of us self-soothe with food. It can come from the way we were raised. It can come from just, you know, feeling like our efforts are for nothing. And so why not just enjoy the bad food? I want to get into that. But before we do, you want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do it.
All right. Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
All right. You ready for this one?
Uh-huh.
This is terrifying. All right. Oh. The name of this one says, alligators in the sewer myth is true. City workers find out and draw jaw-dropping video. So this is in Florida, of course, where...
This is like a snake in the toilet. It's like my worst nightmare.
Worst nightmare.
But how does an alligator get into a...
sewer pipe?
Well, yeah, I guess sewer pipe is much bigger.
They're super prevalent in Florida. If there's one... So Florida has great... Like, they don't have any... I don't think they have any property... Or they don't have any income tax, right? Which is why everybody goes to Florida. Uh-huh. They also have Disney World. There's a lot of reasons to go to Florida. If there's one thing that would keep me out of Florida...
Alligators.
It's alligators.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. And it's like not at all uncommon for them to just like show up and ruin a party. So basically a work crew discovered a 5-foot alligator residing in a pipe. And I don't know if you can see this or not, but the video footage of it is like really scary.
Yeah. I need to come across that in a cramped pipe.
Right.
Although I don't think I'd ever find myself in a pipe.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, they said that they initially mistook the cold-blooded underdweller for a toad. That's a big toad. They said they saw two little glowing eyes. And I guess because it was kind of underwater, they realized that eventually it was a crocodile or an alligator. This says, in freaky footage, the camera can be seen approaching a pair of what appears to be shining lights at the end of a tunnel. It was a scene straight out of a horror flick. I guess, okay, it's a droid. So when it gets within snapping distance, the beast rears up with its mouth open, revealing itself to be an American alligator. But then I guess the predator continued to back away before turning tail and ambling down the tunnel with the droid in hot pursuit. That's awful and scary.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. You couldn't pay me enough to go into a freaking Florida sewer pipe.
No.
That is awful. I don't know if there's a boob in this story.
New nightmare unlocked.
Right. I'll probably dream about this tonight. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know who the boob is in the story, but maybe the alligator.
There's like the movie Snakes on a Plane, Alligators in a Pipe.
That's right. Snakes in the toilet, Snakes on a Plane, Alligator in a Pipe. There's probably all kinds of places that people have come across some creepy, scary things.
Right, there are people out there that are not afraid of those things. That it's just not me. Or
an
you.
Alligator? That I mean, I get like when people are...
There are people that swim with sharks. That also is terrifying to me.
Have you ever... if you were in one of those cages, would you do that?
If I was getting paid a lot of money.
Okay,
I mean,
so they'd have to pay you.
A lot of money.
Every time I watch one of those scenes... It's not the shark that scares me. I don't like the idea of being in a cage in the water.
I mean, I think I would feel safer. There are those people who are like, we can tame sharks. And like this lady, I've watched her because I think my fear has
exposure
less power.
Therapy.
Yes, exactly. And she just reaches her hand. The shark is just swimming right at her like, I'm about to eat you like a snack. And she just reaches her hand out and then touches his nose.
And pushes him away. I've seen
that. And he is just mesmerized like a little baby.
He's like, oh, you want me to go over here? Okay. Yeah. I've seen that.
I could do that. No, there's no way. I would pee myself.
You know, for every woman that gently guides the shark away, there's a video out there of somebody trying to do that and they don't have an arm now. So... I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
It's the exception to the rule. There's your boobs.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
All right. We're back. Let's talk about the addiction of sugar, because I feel like that's something that a lot of women are dealing with. What do you suggest for somebody that's just really struggling with how to break out of that sugar craving?
Yeah. So first is self-compassion. I think as women, we have been conditioned to be really hard on ourselves and our bodies and especially diet culture. I mean, at least when I was growing up, watching my mom berate her body constantly, start with some grace for yourself, because sugar addiction is not about lack of willpower. I kind of briefly talked about it, but I'm gonna cover it again, because when we're feeding our bodies with sugar, that's feeding our microbiome with sugar, which is making an overgrowth of bad bacteria that sends signals to your brain to crave more sugar. So that's a biological problem. The second problem with sugar addiction is blood sugar balance, going on the same lines of those continuous glucose monitors. I can't tell you how many women I have worked with who say, oh, I just have a sweet tooth. I have a sugar addiction. Nothing I do ever helps. And I say, well, let's balance your blood sugar and see if that helps. And within a month or two, they have zero sugar cravings anymore. Because if you're the typical American and you're waking up and you're eating a bagel or a bowl of cereal or a muffin, that's sending your glucose through the roof. And that's a metabolic emergency. So your body quickly deals with that, packages it up into your body. And then an hour or two later, your blood sugar is crashing, which is another emergency state for your body. And your body tells your brain, we need more carbs and sugar now, or we're going to die. So then you grab a granola bar that has sugar, or some Yoplait yogurt that has 20 grams of added sugar. And you're riding this roller coaster all day. It's not your fault. You don't have a lack of willpower. There are many biological factors at play that cause us to crave sugar.
How does fasting and giving your digestive system a break aid in not necessarily weight loss, which is what most women are after mm-hmm. when they try to fast, but helping reduce sugar cravings and getting your body a break digestively? Like, how does that all relate?
Yeah. So like I said, when we are not feeding that bad bacteria sugar, it's dying every day that we're not feeding it to them. But specifically to fasting, which caveat, I don't think fasting is for everyone at every age. If you're a postmenopausal woman and you're not having monthly cycles, then I think fasting is great. But cycling women need to be really careful so they don't actually put more stress on their bodies when it comes to fasting. But if you're doing a 24-hour fast, science shows that when you hit that 24-hour mark, it's actually like a gut reset. Your endothelium, we talked about that last episode, it actually replaces itself every 3 days. So doing a fast actually allows your gut to heal much more quickly and allows those good microbiome to clean up the bad that's in your gut.
Oh, that every 3 days, that's really interesting. I think
no matter how much damage you've done to it, it'll reset.
Yeah. Wow. That's like really encouraging too.
I mean, I've done a lot of fasts, you know, you and I have talked about that in the past, and it's like the quick win. Women are women, not just women, but people in general always want the quick fix. Mm-hmm. Fasting's a pretty.
Yeah. But I mean, I do agree with you. It definitely has to be done like properly with cycling women and with like mentally, you have to be ready. Also, I was going to ask you, somebody like kicks their sugar habit and they are starting to like reflect back on, oh, I really was addicted to sugar and I didn't even really understand all my pulls or my cues. Do you teach moderation, or do you teach now that you're
elimination?
You're like an addict, and now that you see it, it's like you're done.
Yeah. Well, I am a moderation kind of girl, just to answer that head on. But I think there's always a caveat to that, because if you're continuing those healthy lifestyle and diet choices that helped you kick sugar, sugar's not going to take over again. Mm. Whenever you're balancing your blood sugar, I mean, I say it from my own experience, but like I'll see a cookie and it's like, meh, don't really want it. I don't have the craving for it. It doesn't have the power over me anymore. Will I still have cake at my kid's birthday party? Yeah, I'm going to have a piece of cake because it's their birthday and I want to enjoy life with them. But yeah, it no longer has control over me. And a lot of times when you go on vacation and you splurge and you're enjoying your family, there's no shame in that. It's just coming back to your foundations that you know whenever you're home.
And I think it's like, you know, I'll find myself saying, oh, I really do want to enjoy this dessert, you know, with my family, and I'll have it. But then I'll say, it's amazing when you start paying attention how much you're offered something that's not good for you. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I partake in this, then I'm going to say no to the next thing.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. kind of just mentally preparing yourself for the fact that if mm-hmm. I partake in this, moderation is key. So the next time I'm presented with something, I'm going to decline. Right. And it's worth it. Like, there are days where I come to Sarah and I'm like, I ate that cookie and I enjoyed every single
every
bite.
Every morsel.
And there's other times where I've had something and I'm like, I really wish I hadn't eaten that. That was driven more out of habit mm-hmm. than it was a sincere desire to enjoy the food. Mm-hmm. I think mindset is such a huge piece of the sugar addiction, too. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And mindset also is affected by your microbiome. So it's kind of a cycle of, are you feeding your microbiome well, you know, to have that good mindset?
I do think you're right. Like, I love that you're so education focused, because you can't change what you don't understand.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're dealing with, is a large population of people who don't understand, you know, how it all works, what the benefits are. I get like angry now, because I feel like we've been, I don't like feeling duped, and I don't like feeling beholden to something. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the idea that I have an addiction to sugar makes me angry now, because I've been given all this food and I didn't recognize that it's essentially poison.
It's so mm-hmm. the evolution of where you've come is it makes me want to cry sometimes, because I'm so proud of you, like a mama.
Well,
because
I
remember
you and I are lifelong learners.
You were like, I can't believe you do that, when I would say, oh, I'm cutting out sugar for a month, or I'm doing this for a month, and I had that same mindset. I never want something so badly that I can't just give it up.
Yeah, there's something wrong.
There is really power in just trying it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to have that mindset too. You and I are lifelong learners. Mm-hmm. I think that's why we mesh so well. It's like, I might be hesitant about something or skeptical about something, but I'm a verbal processor too.
Yeah.
So I will word vomit out all of my, I don't know, maybe not, blah, 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 blah. But I think you have to just constantly be willing to learn.
Yeah.
And then evolve. Uh-huh. And I'm always highly skeptical of the people who are so rooted in their ideology that they are never willing to consider a different point of view. But so, thank you for the kudos.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The evolution, I know, has been over time. I mean, I'm 9 years into survivorship, and I feel like I'm just cracking this nut wide open.
Along the lines of learning, I'm really curious about your ideas or stance on something that's really popular. Maybe it is all over my newsfeed, but all over a lot of people's news feeds, but how do you feel about CGMs, continuous glucose monitors? Because I think that they're being pushed as sort of trendy, but also on the flip side, I also think that there's a lot to learn from it if you haven't had that background of, I don't know how to listen to my body, and they need to see that verbal feedback. That we have so many devices now. We wear something to count how many steps we have. And sometimes we think we get a lot of steps until we look at that number and we think, oh, no, actually I don't. So when we have this technology that partners well, do you find them to be useful? Do you recommend them?
Absolutely. Like 10 years ago, when I was working with diabetics, you could only get these CGMs with a prescription, and usually only type 1 diabetics could get a hold of them. So the fact that the market has really opened up and it's like direct to consumer purchasing, I think is wonderful, because like we said, knowledge is power, and we are all so different. I call that bio-individuality. So like, Sarah, you and I could eat the exact same meal and have totally different reactions to it, but we would never know, because you can't always feel your blood sugar going up or down. Now, a lot of times you can, you know, we describe those symptoms of feeling foggy or cranky or just craving more carbs and sugar. But whenever you're seeing that data in live time right in front of you, it's so invaluable. And I think, kind of like we said, even with cycling women, our hormones also affect how we respond to our glucose. So it's really beneficial for cycling women to wear it for at least a month. So you can kind of see like, oh, I ate this meal in the first week of my cycle, and, you know, I didn't respond so badly, but in the last half of my cycle, when my progesterone's higher, like, dang, I really spiked, because in the last half of your cycle, you're more resistant to insulin. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious too, like, I'm thinking about people, and I know people that have kind of this thought process that if I'm not diabetic, then my blood sugars are fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But really, from what we know now, I mean, how much of the population do you think have unhealthy blood sugar levels? And just because they're not diabetic doesn't mean that it's not adversely affecting their quality of life, but also their bodily, you know, health, and then potentially putting them in the path of future disease. I mean, I imagine that that isn't a huge number. So it's like those glucose monitors are really for people who are interested in
learning
and prevention. Mm-hmm. Would be huge, I would think.
Yeah.
I think everyone is actually suffering from what we call reactive hyperglycemia. That means your blood sugar is going high because it's reacting to what you ate. So we're having these reactions of spiking high and low with these poor foods that we're eating. So I think probably everybody would benefit from doing a month of data to see, okay, well, if I eat a banana, oh my gosh, this is a fruit, but like my blood sugar goes through the roof. Well, that's because bananas have some of the highest sugar content out of any fruit. But if I pair that banana with some peanut butter that contains protein and fat, I don't have that spike. So doing different kind of self experiments like that and really understanding what works well for you and what doesn't.
Oh, I love experiments. That just jazzes me.
You are an experiment girl. For all of us who are not that way and are like, they want to know, okay, what are the things I should focus on? What are kind of give us your top tips for women who want to get a handle on their blood sugar but don't want to feel overwhelmed?
Yeah. In the mindset of starting small, I would love for you just to become aware of how much sugar are you actually consuming on a daily basis. Become a detective of the food label. Start turning things around. And at this point, I don't care how many calories are in something. I don't care how much fat is in something. I want you to see how much sugar, even, you know, labels now break it down into sugar and then right below it, added sugar. The food industry is smart, you guys. And they don't have to list fruit juices as added sugar when really it's still sugar. Your body doesn't know the difference between maple syrup, honey, or table sugar. It all has to be processed the same way. So sugar is sugar, unless you're fructose, then that's processed in your liver and detrimental in other ways. But just understanding how much sugar am I eating in a day? You know, most of our sugars that we consume are in sneaky foods that aren't sweet, like ketchup. For one tablespoon of ketchup, that's one teaspoon of sugar. My kids love ketchup. I think ketchup is like, the food is just a vessel to get more ketchup in their mouth, you know?
Do you know what label I don't look at because I don't want to give it up is the Chick-fil-A sauce.
Oh, you got to look at it.
I don't want to look at it. It'll be like the ketchup. I'll have to give it up.
There are dupes you could make.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I make a dupe for my kids and they love it, you know? Yeah. But like maybe just switching to a lower sugar ketchup or a no sugar ketchup, if you can swing it. I don't want people to feel restricted. I just want them to understand first before they make changes.
What about the whole no carb thing? I mean, isn't an easy win if you don't want to have sugar is just stay away from carbs?
Sure. I think there's a difference between nature's carbs and processed carbs.
Sure.
You know, any carb from nature is going to be like fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains that are not processed. And any processed carb is 100% loaded with sugar plus added sugar.
Yep.
That's kind of the train I'm on right now. It's like
low carb or no carb?
I mean, very, very, very low carb. You know, if it's carbs, it's nature's carbs.
Nature's carbs. Yeah. 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 They are the better for you carbs. All right. Before we wrap up today, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
Okay, we're back. Final thoughts on sugar, its effect on our health, and what you want women to know.
Yeah. So I want to empower everyone that this is within your control and something that you can slowly make changes on. So like we said, switching to, if ketchup is your jam, switching to a low sugar ketchup. One of my best tips for trying to cut out sugar is actually starting your day with a savory breakfast. So not cereal, not a bagel, not a muffin, not a bowl of oatmeal, which is advertised as healthy. I want you to start with something savory, like eggs. Or like I said, I had leftovers, you know, from last night's dinner that had broccoli and chicken and bacon and sweet potato. And it was amazing. It wasn't breakfast food, but it filled me up. And, you know, I still feel great hours later. I haven't had a blood sugar crash. So I think my top two tips is just educate yourself on how much sugar you're taking and starting your day with a savory breakfast, because then you're not going to be starting your day on that crazy roller coaster of up and downs, and you're going to be able to better control your cravings throughout the day.
Awesome. And we're just one more time, in case they missed the last episode, where can people find you?
Yeah. So my website is www.getehc.com. And I'm also on Instagram, which I know you all have that handle. So you can put that in the show notes as well.
Yep. All right. Great. Thanks so much, Jenna. We appreciate you.
Yeah. It was really fun talking to you, ladies.
It was fun. It was very educational. Until next time.
See ya. Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.